Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise. What am I made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions that will be explored tonight by your host, naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise. Call in and talk to Dr. Rita and her thought-provoking guests. Get the help you need to move beyond any obstacle or challenges affecting your life right from the source. And now back to Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and thank you all for staying tuned to the second hour of the show. This hour, we're going to be talking about creative evolution. And to do that, we'll be speaking with Dr. Amit Goswami. We've had him on the show once before, and I had a wonderful, wonderful conversation with him, and I'm so excited to have him back on. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Goswami, and we will get him on the air. Amit Goswami is the author of highly successful textbook, Quantum Mechanics. His two-volume textbook for non-scientists, The Physicist's View of Nature, traces the decline and rediscovery of the concept of God within science. In his seminal book, The Self-Aware Universe, he solved the quantum measurement problem, elucidating the famous observer effect while paving the path to a new paradigm in science based on the primacy of consciousness. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio, the author of Creative Evolution, Dr. Amit Goswami. Hi, Amit. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rita? Good to hear your voice.
I am just so excited to have you back. I had such a wonderful time with you on the air the last time when I heard the book was out and you were going to come on. I was dancing around.
Thank you so much.
So this book is entitled Creative Evolution. What is creative evolution, and is that different from Darwin's theory of evolution?
Very much so. Darwin's theory is a very incomplete theory. It neither is a satisfactory theory as a theory, but most importantly, it does not agree with all of the experimental data. It leaves out the very famous or infamous fossil gap, which is not under the purview of its explanatory perimeter. So it's an inconsistent theory as well. So how do you explain things such as the fossil gaps? In case somebody hasn't heard about it, the fossil gaps are gaps that show up in the evolutionary data. Fossils, by the way, are very almost compulsory evidence for evolution itself. But they are not a continuous record of fossils. So what causes these discontinuities or gaps in the fossil record? This is the question that Darwinism cannot answer. Creative evolution answers them as creative quantum leaps in consciousness. This is a very major revision of Darwin's theory, and not only Darwin's theory, ultimately biology. We are bringing consciousness into biology, or more succinctly, we are developing a new biology within the primacy of consciousness. Consciousness is the ground of all being, including biological being. If we include this idea in biology, then biology can be revisioned in such a way that it can treat the whole human being instead of right now, which is really a biology of human beings as if they are non-living and non-conscious. This is ridiculous. So we have to change this paradigm into one where human beings are full human beings, not some machines.
Well, I mean, they're human beings that have obviously a different level of consciousness than a dog or an ape, but in my mind, even those animals or cows or horses have levels of consciousness.
Absolutely, and they are not machines. So that is the whole point, that even a single living cell has something fundamentally different in it that machines don't have. And what is that fundamentally different? It is that self-awareness. There is even the lowliest creature, single self. Those creatures, even they have the experience of experiencing themselves as separate from their environment. And this is what distinguishes life from non-life. The biological paradigm that we now have, the prevalent paradigm, which is based on the idea that everything is matter, cannot distinguish between material things and living things. So the new science that we are developing is a genuine solution of some of these puzzles. How can a science of life not even define what life is? This kind of ridiculous situation has arisen because we have developed a prejudice in favor of a very incomplete science. A science based on matter by necessity, by definition, is incomplete because matter is not the only world that we live in. Beside the material, there are other worlds we experience, that of the mind, that of the vital energies which we feel, that of intuition, the archetypes that we intuit. So the material is just a little part of the puzzle. So to make an entire stance on the back, go ahead.
And with that whole concept, there's no explanation for even the slightest bit of consciousness or the slightest bit of life force, chi, in any kind of living being, even plants. I mean, they have energy and are alive. And if you look at it from just a materialistic perspective, it doesn't even explain that basic concept.
It doesn't.
How did that happen?
It doesn't, and it can't, because it leaves it out. So only way materialists can say that there is consciousness is to say that, well, somehow consciousness evolves through Darwinian evolution because it has some survival benefit. But you know the basic problem with that kind of reasoning? Matter cannot even process consciousness. You get what is called now the hard question. The question is that material objects are objects, but consciousness is not only an object, but also a subject, because in consciousness we experience ourselves as subject to experiencing other objects. So how does the subject-object split awareness that we experience, how does that arise? This is called the hard question by philosophers. And frankly, this is an impossible question for the materialist, because objects, however they interact, can only give other objects. So material interactions cannot process consciousness. This is as simple as that. And biologists deny this or ignore this kind of questions, and this is why the present biology is very incomplete. Creative evolution completes it.
So where does awareness or self-awareness come from?
Well, so if consciousness is the ground of being, then you've got a different story. Because in that consciousness, then, you can include the material as possibilities. You can also include the vital body, vital energies as possibilities. You can include the mental as possibilities. You can include even the supramental, the archetypes, love, beauty, etc., as possibilities. So if you allow four compartments of possibility, you see clearly that what matter does is to make representations of the subtle dimensions of our experience. In other words, what we call the biological body is a representation of the vital energy body. If we think this way, then it becomes clear that life then will have the added ingredient of vital energy, feelings, and mind, and so forth, which you cannot get if matter was the only thing.
What you're saying reminds me of very philosophical principles that are from the yogic tradition or Kabbalistic tradition about you know, manifestation through the world into the physical dimension. It kind of sounds a little that way. So is that you're talking about?
It is, although they don't use words such as representation because these are more modern words. But the idea was indeed that the whole concept of the world, material world, is to make representations of subtler dimensions of reality. This concept is found in the Kabbalah. This concept is found in the ancient Indian philosophy. This concept is found probably, if we look carefully, in all the esoteric traditions of spirituality. So that is not surprising, because those traditions were founded by extremely intuitive people who studied consciousness very deeply. And in deep states of consciousness, just as we today discover scientific theories from deep states of consciousness, similarly those people also discovered the at least similar ideas. I mean, we have more knowledge base to express those ideas. That is the only difference. Those guys didn't know about quantum physics, so they could not use the language of quantum physics or the language of computer. But their intuition, they intuited about the same reality, is my feeling.
Mm-hmm. So let me kind of throw a little weird question at you. There's so much on the planet that is, I'm going to say, organic life, from plants and single-celled animals and multiple-celled animals and regular animals and us as humans, that all have a consciousness. I mean, plants have consciousness. They turn toward the sun and open and close. You know, certain flowers will open and close depending on the amount of light that's available, which to me is a level of consciousness. Is it possible, and I'm just throwing this out as a possibility, that even things that we see as inanimate objects like rocks or minerals in that realm could have a kind of consciousness that we are just not remotely aware of?
Well, in quantum physics, we distinguish between living and non-living. So in quantum physics, the distinction is that living beings, only living beings, have the experience of consciousness. They have the experience that they are conscious, that which we call awareness. They have the experience that they have a self which is separate from the world that they are experiencing, subject separate from the objects that the subject is experiencing. This, the for the non-living, for the inanimate objects, we do not need to postulate this in order to solve any problem. In other words, if we want to study the movement of a table or a chair or a piece of rock, we don't have to include the idea that these objects have any reference to their self, any necessity for that reference to their self. In other words, physics and chemistry will completely describe their behavior, and this is borne out. So we do not need to disregard the true triumph of today's science. Today's science is very good in terms of physics and chemistry describing the inanimate objects. But the problem with today's science arises as soon as we turn to living objects. Biology, starting with biology, we have enormous incompleteness. In physics, we have only the quantum measurement paradox that you mentioned when you were introducing me. Now, that is the idea that quantum possibilities, quantum physics describe objects as possibilities, not actual events. So how do these possibilities become actualities? That is the only paradox that baffles physics and chemistry if you look at them as materialist sciences. And for solution of that paradox is why we need the idea that consciousness is the ground of being. How do possibilities become actual events in our experience? Because we choose from these possibilities. We choose the experience that we experience. So we choose our own reality, literally, except that the chooser is not our ego consciousness. It's a unitive ground of being, non-local, an interconnectedness that exists without any exchange of signals that chooses. So these are the subtleties of the new science. When we include the subtlety, we get a new theory of evolution, we get a biology that can include feeling, that can deal with feelings of animals, that can deal with feelings of plants. You know, there is enormous data in favor of all this. So, but the distinction of animate and inanimate has to be maintained. That is the triumph of this new theory. Because there is an obvious difference. I mean, inanimate can be described by physics and chemistry. The animate cannot.
Okay. I was just wondering, you know, because if we're all energy and we're all vibration, it might be that we just can't measure it or don't recognize it, or it's moving in a different way or rate that we just don't even see it.
The way to think is that that material makes representation of the subtle, but the representations are made in the part of reality that we call animate. When the representations can be made is what makes a certain object animate. That is the animation. Animation is because the vital can be represented in an animate object. Whereas what happens in a rock is potentially conscious. And it has potentially the ability to make representations. But that ability has not been completed yet because the complexity of a rock is not enough. When the complexity becomes enough to produce what I call a tangled hierarchy in the structure of the rock, in the structure of matter. Rocks just cannot have it, but in the structure of matter, like the living cell has it, then we get a representation of consciousness. So the rock is unconscious. Is consciousness there? Yes, consciousness is there, but potentially. It does not, there is no manifest consciousness as we have, like awareness. There is no awareness of the consciousness.
That's why I love having you come on. You always have such good answers.
I'm glad you like it. Well, you know, it's an amazing thing that we can give answers like this today. I mean, this is so fascinating to ponder that how could this happen that we understand these things all of a sudden? I mean, it's quantum physics is such a powerful new way of thinking.
I believe that people have thought that way for a long time, but now quantum physics is coming back and saying, well, maybe you weren't so wrong and you're not such a kook out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people have thought this way a long time, and this is very good of putting it, but their thinking seems paradoxical. Their thinking seems to be without substance, non-scientific. What quantum physics is saying is that, look, the science was not advanced enough to give a good description of the intuitions of these people. So the intuitions were right after all. What we lacked was the description of it, the ability to describe the experiences with proper scientific language. Our science was not developed enough. Quantum physics is giving us the first grown-up science.
And I just find it interesting that quantum physics would even have anything to do with evolution. They seem like two totally different fields, but they seem to merge together so beautifully.
Yes, yes, indeed. And it is not surprising when we realize that quantum physics itself cannot be understood without the introduction of consciousness. So that is the big surprise. The big surprise is when quantum physics was first discovered, it was discovered in connection with movement of just material objects at the very submicroscopic level. So nobody thought that things that mechanics that seems to be important and shows up in very visible proportion only for the submicroscopic objects. You know, its application to macroscopic objects is extremely subdued. So nobody really expected that something like consciousness, which in materialist thinking is a brain product, will come to occupy such a central role in the understanding of quantum physics. But there is this paradox which is variously called by various names. One of them is quantum measurement paradox. How do possibilities become actual events just simply by our looking? This paradox cannot be understood without saying that consciousness is the ground of being and material objects are possibilities of this consciousness. So this is the big surprise, that in order to solve paradox, you have to include consciousness. And once you go through that surprise, then it is not very surprising anymore that other aspects of macroscopic being will also involve quantum physics. which was discovered with submicroscopic objects, but that is just history.
So if we didn't evolve, and we're not even going to go to the whole created idea, but if we weren't created, how did we evolve?
Well,
how did we get here?
Well, we were literally created. We were literally created as living cells, single cells, single living cells. And if you have to be blunt about it, then it's God's creativity. Only God can create a living object. Why? Because a living being has to have in its structure what is called a tangled hierarchy. A tangled hierarchy is something that is very important to understand. Let me explain. When materialists say that elementary particles make atoms and atoms make molecules, they're talking about a simple hierarchy. The cause of the atomic structure, cause of the molecular structure, is all in the interactions between the elementary particles. Nothing else has any causal power. All causal power of material objects come from the interactions at the base level, the level of the elementary particles. So cause rises upward. This is called upward causation. So when you get this kind of theory, the problem is that these basic theories are incomplete, because in quantum physics, objects are possibilities. So what is a tangled hierarchy? Tangled hierarchy is one in which the causal levels are all mixed up. So, for example, in a living cell, we have the basic molecules, but we also have two very large macromolecules. One is called protein. This is the functional aspect of life. And one is called the DNA. That gives us the reproductive aspect of life. But here is the fantastic mystery. Proteins are needed to make DNA, but DNA has the genetic code to make proteins. So how does a living cell ever materialize them? You cannot synthesize it, because who would you synthesize first? You need protein to make DNA, you need DNA to make protein. So this is called a tangled hierarchy. Hierarchy is so tangled, what you need is a self-creating object that creates itself, or tangled hierarchically in a circular way creates itself. In quantum physics, this kind of living cell can be created. Why? Because all objects are possibility objects first. They are not actual events. So the possibility of making the protein can simultaneously exist with the possibility for making the DNA. And this is the trick. So God's creativity together, not separately, not synthesizing, not from the base up, but together, makes the whole thing at once. So protein making DNA and DNA making protein, the whole thing is brought together, and that can be done only through a discontinuous quantum leap. We call it quantum leap. When electron jumps from one atomic orbit to another, it does not go through intermediate step. Similarly, there is no intermediate step for making life, a living cell, from the basic molecules. This is where the scientists go wrong. There is no hierarchy that we have atoms, molecules, and molecules are making bigger molecules are making cells. It's not like that. At some stage, the molecules have to be created together. The molecules that are tangled hierarchical, like the protein and the DNA, they have to be made together. They cannot be made step by step. Okay, I'll make a little bit of protein first, and then I'll make a little bit of DNA. That kind of thinking does not work. Instead, DNA and the protein both have to be made together, combined in what we call the living cell. And only creativity. And in this case, you can really go out on the limb and say that it's God's creativity that is.
Amit, we need to take a quick break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Dr. Amit Goswami about his book, Creative Evolution, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Reed Louise, will return right after these messages.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah Guided Imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com. Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio. There's no greater blessing in the world than your good health. Science is now showing that simply eating a high-quality diet doesn't provide us with all the nutrition we need. Doctors recommend we supplement our diets with products derived from whole food concentrates. And one of the most complete and nutritious whole foods found on the earth are little microscopic plants called marine phytoplankton, which can be found in a product called Frequency. I've been taking Frequency every day for about 6 months now, and I feel more energized and full of life. If you're ready to make a difference in your health, I encourage you to try Frequency and see what it can do for you. To learn more about Frequency and other amazing whole food natural products direct from Mother Nature, please visit productsforthesoul.com.
Just Energy Radio wants to help you grow your business. Just Energy Radio has a growing global audience which can provide you with an unequaled opportunity to educate thousands of people about the products and services you have to offer. Through our targeted market, your ad is more likely to connect with like-minded individuals who will respond to your message. In addition, our archiving feature will allow your ad to be heard over and over again. Join the internet marketing revolution and take advantage of our low introductory prices. Visit justenergyradio.com for more information.
Start the year off right by visiting livinggrocery.com. Experience the miracle of real nutrition as it helps you to lose weight and improve your overall health. Don't mess with pills or capsules. We provide the highest quality, all-natural, organic foods that come ready to eat. And best of all, it's delivered straight to your door. Visit livinggrocery.com now and experience your own amazing transformation.
Hi, I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Listen to Dr. Rita's Soul Healer Moment live each third Sunday night of the month on Feet to the Fire. www.feettofire.com for more information. And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and we're back from the commercials with Dr. Amit Goswami to talk more about his book, Creative Evolution. Amit, I have, you're talking, and I'm like taking these copious notes of just interesting stuff that I want to talk about. So before the break, we were talking about the creation of life and how it needed to take a, that in order for life to occur, animate life to occur, it needed to take a quantum leap. I guess there have been a lot of people talking, I mean, this is old theory material, that lightning struck this swampy matter and it made amino acids, and from those amino acids, life formed, life evolved. And so what you're saying is that's not even the case anymore either, that theory is...
That theory is incomplete. I mean, amino acids can only make protein... But amino acids can make protein only with the help of the genetic code, which is written in portions of the DNA. But the problem arises is that so you need to make the DNA. But how to make the DNA? Making the DNA requires the protein. It's a circularity. So one cannot synthesize things that contain a tangled hierarchy like this. How can one build them? Build them by only creative quantum leaps. One cannot build them synthetically. One cannot build them with material interactions, in other words. There is no continuous way of building them. So same thing with all living beings. So how do these single cell creatures evolve? They evolve by the same repetition of the same creative quantum leaps every now and then. There are continuous changes, of course. Creatures adapt to their environment through the continuous changes, just as Darwin said. And they can evolve a little bit, which we call microevolution. Microevolution can happen in a continuous way, just as Darwin envisioned. But then there is also macroevolution, large steps of evolution. Those steps of evolution, you need, again, tangled hierarchical stuff comes up, and tangled hierarchy is impossible to build with material interactions, therefore God's creativity. Creativity of quantum consciousness, if you are too sensitive to the word God. We have a scientific word, quantum consciousness, consciousness that is non-local interconnectedness among all creatures and things. That consciousness, from that consciousness, conscious choice makes a creative quantum leap out of all the existing mutations that exist only as possibilities in quantum physics. The world only consists of possibilities until consciousness has chosen it. When does consciousness choose it? When all the elements for the macro change is available in possibility and consciousness sees it, and that's the moment of choice. At that moment, the new creature springs up, evolves.
As so is that evolution. Would explain the fossil gaps?
That explains the fossil gap, because there is no intermediate. There is no intermediate step. Just like the electron in the atom went through from one orbit to another without any intermediate step, similarly, creatures jump from one species to another, very different one, without any intermediates. And so no fossils.
One of the things, as you were talking, I was thinking about, there's the origin of life, the little one-celled allergies, and then if you go through the historic record, it's kind of like the next thing that you have are like trilobites and fish. I don't even know how you would go from one-celled algaes to trilobites, which are actually big and very complex.
So one cell to multiple cells, that's the easiest thing.
But we're not even talking multiple cells. We're talking a completely...
But multiple cells was an accepted step. I mean, that's a step that we can conceive of. But when trilobites come, then we already are talking about a big change. And that is the kind of change that takes place through quantum leaps. And then, of course, by the time you're talking about complex creatures, you're talking about complex organs, and these complex organs all come about from quantum leaps. So one never sees a continuous record of fossils going from one species to another, which is separated from it by the appearance of new complex organs. One just does not see the intermediate fossils. How can one explain this with Darwinism, which says everything has to be continuous? One cannot. And this is the fallacy that biologists hold on to because of basically politics. You know, politically, biologists have grown up to be so much against creationism and intelligent design and against the Christian idea of God sitting on a throne, punishing people for their sins, etc., that they lose their common sense in terms of recognizing that the theory that's supposed to describe evolution is not a good theory either. It's not a complete theory. It's a theory of only the continuous part of evolution. As soon as quantum leaps of evolution has to be understood, immediately the concept of conscious choice, which I call downward causation, a source of causation different from material level of causation has to be introduced. What you call that source, if that causes problem for a biologist, as I said, you don't have to call it God. If you want to call the source of downward causation choice by quantum consciousness, that's fine with me. But the fact remains that there is causation outside of the material domain of causation. That is the point.
And if you look at the different philosophical traditions and look at our own energetic structure, energy flows into us and back out of us, and into us and out of us, and it always goes through an inward and outward, upward and downward cycle. And so for us to say that it only would go in a upward direction is kind of being a little short-sighted, because nothing in the universe just flows in one direction. I mean, other than maybe the Nile River, but,
Well, we become used to it because we don't think of living beings in a complete way. Here is the problem for the biologist. We have a good theory in physics and chemistry where things do go one way. You know, little things make up big things. But then we have life. And there, things are not like physics and chemistry. But biologists thought and still think that they eventually can be reduced to physics and chemistry. And this is the clear knot in their thinking that is preventing them for further progress in biology. So this is a problem of thinking, because, you know, they have become used to, because of the success of physics and chemistry, biologists have gotten used to materialist thinking. Before molecular biology came about with the discovery of the structure of DNA, biologists had some belief in existence of vital bodies, as an essential ingredient of life. There must be vital energies. So again, you immediately have this upward and downward both. That kind of idea could be incorporated. But molecular biology came about in the 1950s, and it created such enormous hope that everything about life can be explained with these molecules, that most biologists gave up their ideas of vital energies and consciousness in biology, and developed a materialist biology, false hope in a materialist biology, which is now become an albatross in the shoulder of biologists. There is neither a good theory of evolution, nor is there a biology of feeling, nor is there a good understanding of consciousness, nor is there any hope of reconciling biology with spiritual traditions. So we are just living in an era where the most important part of our life, an explanation of life, a science of life, is shortchanged, is incomplete. This is not a situation that we can tolerate. We must replace it by a new biology, and this is what I'm proposing.
And I think it's a very valid theory.
Absolutely.
I mean, short of them not finding all of the missing links, but when you look at some of the jumps, we were talking about the small multi-celled amoeba-looking kind of animals jumping to the trilobites. There's not really anything in between, and then they go extinct, and the next group come out, and then they go extinct, and the next group come out. Then we get rid of the dinosaurs, and then the mammals take over.
Exactly. And how do you incorporate extinction? That itself is a mystery to Darwinism, because Darwinism says it's survival of the fittest. But actually, if you look at the history of living creatures, its evolution has so many extinctions. As Stephen Gould, himself a very great paleontologist in the materialist field, what did he say? He said, it's not survival of the fittest. It seems more and more like survival of the luckiest, because these creatures have to survive this catastrophe. So that being the case, Darwin's theory is discredited by so many aspects of the actual data. Not only can it explain these fossil gaps, it cannot explain this, how can it be survival of the fittest when there is so much of discontinuity through these extinctions. And then it cannot explain the arrow of time that exists in biology. Biological evolution goes from simple to complex. Even a small boy can tell that time flows from the past to the future by looking at the fossil data. Fossils are much simple In the olden days, the fossils that were developed in the early era of life, and later fossils are much more complex. This is a fact. So this why biological evolution moved from simplicity to complexity is a problem that materialist biology just cannot solve, because Darwin's theory, both of the aspects of Darwin's theory, chance and necessity, they both can go in both directions, either complexity to simple or simple to complex. There cannot be any arrow of time in Darwin's theory. But we do have an arrow of time, simple to complex. That suggests that there is purposiveness in life. It suggests that there is purposiveness in evolution. And most importantly now, we can ask the question, what is in our evolutionary future? This is the best part. So creative evolution, towards the end, I go into the question of, okay, so what are we doing now? You know, in what, which way are we moving, evolutionarily speaking?
Yeah, and we're going to hit a commercial here like in a minute, so we're going to save that for after the break.
Okay.
One thing, though, in that whole idea, if you think about sharks and you think about, like, alligators who were here during, I guess it would be like the Jurassic period, they've had all of that extra time to evolve, and they haven't done anything. Very little, evolutionary-wise.
Yes.
They could be reading the paper or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because some roots obviously have not produced very much of progress, because that's what happens with creativity, no? If you take some creative ideas, produce enormous future creative ideas, whereas some creative ideas don't. They produce a little bit of activity, and then the avenues become closed. So again, the theory of creativity is the kind of right theory for biological evolution. There are many parallels between our creative events and biological creativity. Creative events in human life, human creation, and biological creativity of nature.
And it seems like, you know, using the sharks and the alligators as an example, they evolved to the maximum capability that they can, and then it took some kind of a break for somebody else, some other creature to come in to take it to the next step. And it sounds like that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
they couldn't go any further.
Yeah, certain avenues just cannot go any further. So other avenues have to be opened up, and that is the job of creativity. We call it the creation of a new context for living to manifest. The context that the alligator context is good for only a certain expressions of living. But for future evolution, alligator is just not enough. So we have to move on. And so, you know, move on in the direction of more complex brains. The alligator brain, the reptile brain, is just not enough to have that. It's a very primitive brain. So the brain have to be made with quantum leaps, and that is what gave us the alligator to reptiles to mammals and primates and human beings with huge brains.
We need to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about evolution version 2.3, or maybe we should say evolution 2009. And we'll be back. We got Dr. Goswami, author of Creative Evolution. We'll be back after these messages.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Reed Louise, will return right after these messages.
Dr. Rita Louise. Don't forget to sign up for our free online newsletter at justenergyradio.com. It'll keep you informed of who's coming on the show each week. And don't forget, explore your possibilities every Friday night. Don't miss a single episode of Just Energy Radio. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are you feeling stuck and unsure which way to turn on your path? Do you lack focus and direction in life? Do you feel something is missing? So what do you want? A better job? Your dream home? More money? Your ideal mate? Decora has practical tools to assist you. Schedule a session today to get clear about what you truly desire to deliberately create the life you want. For more information, visit ManifestingConsultant.com or call toll-free 1-800-813-3877.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative health care practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today.
Finally, there's a healing and ascension tool that delivers real results faster than you ever dreamed possible. Guaranteed. Feel your body release those lingering physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual blockages. Sense a profound awakening to your next level of intuition and oneness with your higher self. Discover Archangel Metatron's Healing and Ascension CDs at AtlantisHealthCenters.com. Visit AtlantisHealthCenters.com today.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at SoulHealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit SoulHealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Dr. Amit Goswami. His website, which I haven't said before, is www.dramidgoswami.com. And his book is Creative Evolution.
Actually, Rita,
yes,
have a new website now. Let me give you the new website, www.amitgoswami, without the doctor, .org.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm going to add that on. So is the .com address gone, or is that also good?
Well, it may still be there, but this is the current one. So this is a wonderful website set up by my friend Ree Stewart, and people can get a whole bunch of new information. www.amitgoswami, one word, amitgoswami.org.
And I will go on the webpage because there's a link to your site on the Just Energy Radio site. So if someone that's listening to the show that wants to click through, I will go in and change that next week.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So before the break, we started to talk a little bit about, and I kind of stopped you because we were getting so close to the commercial, about where we're moving to. Where are we going?
This is the best part. This is the best part, Rita, really, because this is the question we are most interested in. So evolutionarily speaking, are we evolving towards a new era of human being? And the answer that is coming is that we are very close to a new stage of evolution. For this, I have to go back a little bit. The evolution first was the evolution of representations of the subtle vital energies. So these vital energies, for example, most of our listeners know about the chakras. These vital energies express themselves first as very negative sort of feeling, not negative necessarily, but what we identify as negative, like energies, feelings connected with our survival, energies connected with reproduction, sexuality, energies connected with our ego. So these are the lower three chakras. And then we have higher feelings, like romantic love in the fourth chakra, and on it goes. So these are the representations of the vital energies, fundamentally. And the organs become more and more sophisticated to express more and more aspects of the vital energies. This is the idea. But with the development of the brain, something new became possible. Brain not only can do the vital function of integrating all the body functions, it can do something new. It can make representations of mind itself. So mental meaning can be represented like a computer hardware can represent our mind as software. So similarly, we now have mental representations in the brain, and so meaning can be represented. Now, mind gives meaning. So initially, mind gave meaning to the physical world. It was being represented in the brain, and it's all about the physical world. So we call such a mind as physical mind. This is the mind of hunters and gatherers. Then came a stage of evolution, the horticultural stage, in which the mind gave meaning to our feelings. This is the stage where we develop emotions, which is a mixture of feelings and mental meaning that we give to the feelings. So we studied that for a while, and then with the development of large-scale agriculture and heavy agricultural machinery, things changed again. We started studying the meaning of meaning itself, in other words, abstract thinking. And this is the age that we are in. This is also called the rational mind, because this part of the mind can be computer-like. It can build on algorithms. It's logical. It's rational. And this rational mind has one characteristic that is very divisive. It cannot, because it's logical and rational and computable, it cannot process feelings, nor can it process intuition. So with this mind, when we have studied this mind, more and more we become isolated from our feelings, separated from our feelings, and also separated to some extent from our intuitions. So it is a very incomplete state of affairs. The next stage, however, is very integrated. In the next stage, we start giving meaning to intuitions. And intuitions is helpful to bridge the difference between feeling and thinking. In other words, we can bring feeling and thinking together with the help of intuition. So in the next stage, we'll not only learn to give meaning to intuitions, we'll learn also to integrate feeling and thinking. This separation has gone on long enough. I've witnessed the problems we are suffering from because of the separation of feeling and thinking. Our thinking dictates that we develop capitalist economy with complete reason-dominated ideas. But what actually happens? Somebody becomes greedy and produces bad stuff like these toxic acids, which is now causing problems in our economy. Same thing happens in politics. Look at the idea of freedom. Freedom is a very good idea. It's a very liberating idea. But some people think that they can get freedom through use of violence. So much so that people now are using suicide to commit violence on innocent people, thinking that this will lead them towards some ideal called freedom, which is as far as can be from the ideal. So we have misinterpreted
Let me interrupt here, because we only have a couple of seconds left.
Please.
There are a lot of people, and I'm sure you are aware of this, that are talking about 2012 and that being a point in time where we're going to go through this shift. What do you think about that whole idea? Do you feel that it's right around the corner for us, or that it would be a possibility? Woohoo, I'm using quantum words. A possibility for us to go there starting at the 2012 time period?
You are becoming a quantum physicist, Rita. Yes, we were talking about extinctions earlier, no? Catastrophes. Mm-hmm. So catastrophes suggest that there's going to be some big change, there's going to be some big evolution. So I think 2012 is a metaphor for the fact that look at these catastrophes that are already happening. You know, global warming. Can the rational mind solve the problem of global warming? No way. Can the rational mind solve the problem of terrorism or meltdown of the economy? No. So what we need a change to a new era of the mind, a new phase of the mind, where mind has to become more intuitive, mind has to integrate feeling and thinking, and then only we can solve this problem. A new era is coming.
We have to go. I hate cutting you off, but there's
okay.
The music, and we have to go. Thank you so
I
much
understand.
For back on the show.
Thank you so much.
And I will talk to you again soon.
Good.
All right. Bye. And next week, we have John Anthony West talking about the high wisdom of ancient Egypt. And so until next time, I'm Dr. Rita Louise. Thank you for tuning in.
Join host Dr. Rita Louise each week at this time for Just Energy Radio. Point your browser to www.justenergyradio.com for more show information and to contact Dr. Rita. Until next time, remember, it's all just